All right. Tonight we will continue looking at fundamentals of utterance as we've been looking at it. How many of us have any of the series? You've downloaded any of the series? Let me see. In this series, you've downloaded. Okay. This series, you've downloaded already. Okay. Okay. It's important, really, because that's the only way you can catch up. Okay. Every Wednesday, we take a step further beyond where we were before. And with every step that we take further, it's to build up on that which we said before. Okay? When it comes to the things of the Spirit, we don't take it for granted. We have to learn. And the only way to learn is to be taught. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 12. I'll just look at 1 Corinthians 12 again. Concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Remember that we said that if you're using a good King James, the word gifts after spirituals is italicized. That means that it wasn't there in the original rendering. It was added by the translators to amplify the meaning. So sometimes it amplifies the meaning, sometimes it takes away from the meaning. And so in this case, it takes away from the meaning because you will be, if you stay with the word gifts, you will think is limiting what's about to discuss to spiritual gifts. Well, what's actually discussing here are things of the Spirit. Because in this same chapter, it discusses manifestations, it discusses gifts, it discusses administrations, it even discusses ministries. Hallelujah. So, there is much more to it than that. So, what he really says is, now concerning spirituals, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Spirituals there stands for things of and appertaining to the Spirit. The things appertaining to the Spirit. So, the operations of the Spirit are something that God doesn't want any believer to be ignorant of. And again, as a backdrop, I said to us that the Corinthian church were manifesting these things. So, manifestation of those things is not equal to understanding of those things. So, Paul told them, now concerning the things of the Spirit, I'm not going to condone ignorance. That's what Paul was saying. That's the language. I'm not going to condone ignorance. So the next verse, verse 3 now, says, wherefore I give you to understand. Say with me, the things of the Spirit can be understood. I believe, I understand the things of the Spirit, for that the things that belong to me in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So again, the reason why I asked earlier, have we gotten the taste? Is because except you listen to the messages, the tapes, except you follow up, there will be a gradual building upon the truth, and then you start practicing on your own. Okay? And then as you start practicing, the reality of those truths start showing forth in your experiences. These things don't work without practice. Don't be a hearer and not a doer. The Bible says you are deceiving your own selves. Okay? Be a hearer and a doer. So make sure that you're actually hearing. And there's no room in the scriptures for those who are not even hearing at all. You must be a hearer and a doer. If you're a hearer and not a doer, you have a problem. Because there are expectations that will not be met. Because you are simply hearing and not doing. It's the doing that produces the harvest. Say amen. All right. So now we have tried to teach along certain lines fundamentals of utterance from the angle of the fact that I need us to understand that utterances, supernatural utterances, are a function of your salvation in Christ. They are part of your inheritance. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Even though we've gone far, it's good to retreat some truths. Chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's look at some things all over again that will remind us. Are you there? I want to read from verse 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. That in everything, he is about to explain what he means by the grace that was given you. Paul is thanking. So the word thank there is after the fact. It's not before the fact. You understand what I mean by that? After the fact means it has taken place. So I'm giving thanks to God on your behalf. So Paul is speaking from the perspective of not just what he was seeing, but what he knows that God has already done. The Corinthian church, by the very word church, means they were believers. So Paul says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is giving you. There's a grace that was giving you by Jesus Christ. That in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and all knowledge. I want you to notice that. in everything. What is the grace that they were given by Jesus Christ? He says they were enriched by him. Who is him? Jesus Christ, in all utterance and in all knowledge. Again, if the scope of the grace of God, which was given us by Jesus Christ, can be defined by all utterance and all knowledge, we already have a formula for how the grace manifests. The grace of God finds expression primarily through all utterance, and utterance is often followed by what? Knowledge. You need to understand how that. Let me read for that and then we'll come back to that. Verse 6, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Let me define the word testimony. The testimony of Christ there is proof that Christ is at work in you was confirmed. How? In all utterance and in all knowledge. So that you are a believer, that you are saved, that the fountain of living waters abides on your inside, that you are part of the body of Christ, that you belong to Jesus, the testimony has to be confirmed. That testimony is a grace which is given you by Jesus Christ, and that grace finds expression in all utterance and all knowledge. Hallelujah. So it says, as the testimony was confirmed in you. So through utterance and knowledge, the testimony of who we are in Christ is confirmed. That you belong to him is primarily confirmed by the grace which has been given for you to express it in all utterance and all knowledge. Verse 7, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That singular statement is tremendous. Go with me to Acts chapter 2. Let's look again at the background of the utterance that every believer is meant to function in Christ Jesus. Because we're making a boast in the light of the scriptures. The Bible says all utterance and all knowledge. All utterance and all knowledge. Remember, we're considering testimony of scriptures. Paul says, I'm giving thanks on your behalf for the grace that has been given to you. So an intelligent believer will look at the scriptures and begin to study and say, if there's a grace that's been given to me that I don't know about, and the Bible says when it comes to the things of the Spirit, I will not tolerate your ignorance. The implication is that if I am not experiencing that grace, it must be because I am not fully aware of that grace, or if I'm aware of the grace, I'm not aware of how it works. Do you understand what I just said? So there's something about how the grace works that I'm not aware of. That's why I'm not reaping the benefit. Notice is that so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming. So between the time you get saved and the time Jesus appears, between that period of time, you are meant to be functioning in all utterance and all knowledge. And if you are functioning in that dimension, you will discover that you come behind in no gift. Let me say that another way. It means any manifestation of spirit you may desire, God has packaged it in all utterance and all knowledge. That if you start from all utterance and all knowledge, you will eventually discover that there is no gift that you come behind in. He was writing to the church. Paul says, you are the reason why I'm giving God thanks, that grace has been given to you. So in chapter 2, when he begins to talk to them, he says that concerning things of truth, I will not have you ignorant. Wherefore, I give you to one understand. It means those things can be taught, communicated, and understood. Hallelujah. They can be taught, communicated, and understood. In this local assembly, I will not have you ignorant. In this local assembly, I will have every single member understand the things of the Spirit. That's where victory lies. It's so important. That's where victory lies. Victory is yours in Christ, whether you are aware or not. But victory will not manifest if you are not aware. So the reality of what you have is brought into manifestation by actual knowledge. It's like you being inside a house, and it's a new house, it's a new place, and you are yet to understand where the fridge is, and you are thirsty. You can be thirsty for 6 hours, and the fridge can be filled with water. Have you ever stood before? Okay, well, if you travel out of the country, and if you go to conveniences in most of these foreign countries, do you know that if you enter their convenience, most of those conveniences function by motion sensors? How many of you know? So, if you want to wash your hands at the wash hand basin, and you don't know how it functions, the first thing you get angry with is, how can they make a tap and not put handle? What's the meaning of this? These people, I don't understand them. How can they make Then if somebody out of mercy educates you, that bros, just put your hand there. Water will come out. But where you are coming from, all the taps have handle. That's the problem. The problem is not that they have not provided. The problem is that you don't know how to activate the water. That's the problem. So, because you don't know how, instead of saying, I don't know how, you now blame the people who constructed. Is this wisdom? How will somebody get water here? Because you don't realize that in that kind of convenience, it works by motion sensor. So if you put your hand there, the water automatically comes back in response to the motion of your hands. Do you understand? So it is with the things of the Spirit. Everything has been laid ready at the convenience. That's why they call it a convenience room. The same thing when it comes to the things in Christ. Understanding makes you able to take advantage of it at will. Say with me, at will. Say with me, at will. Now, let me get back to the illustration. If I put my hands, if I don't know to put my hands there, I'm waiting for a janitor or somebody who stands by to tell me how it functions or to help me press it to make it work. All the person does is not make it work. They just give me instructions. If I follow those instructions, the water that's meant to come out of the tap is not person specific. It's available for all. So if I follow the instructions, because it's no respecter of persons, it will simply flow and I'll be able to wash my hands and dry it. Do you understand? So if my mindset is that it only works for some, it doesn't work for all, I have a problem. So the things of the Spirit, what is your qualification? As long as you are a member of the body of Christ, you have been enriched by Him in all utterance, in all knowledge. Whether you flow forth in all utterance and knowledge is a different matter. But because you are a member, not because you pray hard, not because you fast much, not because your actions are perfect, because you are a member of the body of Christ, you have been enriched by Him in all utterance and all knowledge. Why? God is no respecter of person. If you are in Christ, Christ is the measuring standard of what you should have, not your actions. Your actions can invalidate the flow of what you have, but they cannot invalidate your having what you were given. Say amen. Do you understand? So the measure that God uses is Christ. If the measure that God uses is Christ, it means Christ is the reason why you are the way you are. And you have what you have. But then by the understanding of the scriptures, you are meant to use the truth to now bring out or give expression to what you have. Are you in Acts chapter 2? Verse 22. Peter explaining what took place on the day of Pentecost. Join with me to verse 32 instead. This Jesus, as God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, He hath shed forth these which you now see and hear. What was Peter referring to? Look at verse 4 of Acts chapter 2. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with what? Other tongues, as the Spirit gave them what? Utterance. Notice that. But Peter told us in verse 33 that this Jesus, being by the right hand of God exalted and having received the past tense of the Father, the promise of the Holy Ghost, He has shed forth this which you both see and hear. So we understand that between verse 4 and verse 33, the actions that were taking place. As of verse 4, the only activity you could see was something that could be had. But Peter said, the things which you now see and hear are the result of what Jesus shed forth, having received from the Father the gift of the Holy Ghost. Do you understand? So between verse 4 and verse 33, actions must have been added that people could see. If you understand so far, amen. But I want you to notice what he said. Therefore, he, that's Jesus, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he had shed forth these which you now see and hear. So let's backtrack a little bit and go to the Gospels. John chapter 14. What does that statement mean? Because if we look at the record of the Gospels, we will see one or two things that is a pointer to what Peter was teaching. Having received. Having received means as though, well, the reason why you're seeing what you're seeing is that a particular promise has been fulfilled. When was the promise made? Where did the statement come from? Look at what Jesus told his disciples. John's Gospel chapter 14, and I'll read from verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Notice that Jesus says, and I will pray the Father, and will give you one another comforter. So Jesus here is saying, I will pray the Father, you won't pray the Father, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Notice that the world cannot receive him, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Hallelujah. So notice this, another comforter. Now we know he was talking about the Holy Ghost, isn't it? Now he says, he will give you another comforter, that he will abide with you forever. Presently he dwells with you, and then he will be in you. Futuristic sense. So Jesus had taught his disciples that, listen, the time will come, I will pray the Father, he will give you another comforter, even the Spirit of truth. He will abide with you forever. Presently he dwells with you, but then he shall be in you. So in what sense did Jesus receive the Holy Ghost? If you understand what he was teaching and talking about, you understand how significant it is. That statement that Peter, when he said that, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost. Because you see, Moses enjoyed the anointing. The Spirit of God came upon not just Moses, it came upon David, it came upon Abraham, it came upon Elijah. But Jesus said, I will pray the Father and he will give you. So obviously there must be a difference between how the Spirit was with Moses and Elijah than what Jesus was actually speaking about. Notice that I will pray the Father, he will give you. Number one, the giving is different. Number two, the way we will receive will be different. That's what it means. He will give you another comforter, even the Spirit of truth, that will abide with you forever. The forever dimension and the indwelling dimension are the two dimensions that explains the capacity in which the Holy Ghost will be given at the new birth. Go with me to John chapter 7. I'm trying to break this down as simple as possible to make us understand the very basics. I want every single one of you, listen carefully. If you understand what I'm sharing with us tonight, if you've not spoken in tongues for 6 months, it doesn't matter how long, if you are sure that you are a child of God, you are born again, you can speak in tongues anytime you are ready. In fact, you will discover it has never been God. It has always been you. Anytime you are ready. Because this belongs to everyone who is saved. Being filled with the Spirit is not a separate experience from salvation. It's not. Even though we thought it as though it is, but it's not. It comes along with it. It's the same thing. John chapter 7. Before we go to John chapter 7, look at chapter 16 first, please. Look at chapter 16. Verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will what? Send him unto you. So, go into verse 7 now. Sorry, chapter 7. Verse 37. Are you there? In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow on rivers of living water. Now, I want to say one or two things that will stir up our curiosity a little bit. Understand that the scriptures that were translated to English, the original language, it was written in its Greek and Hebrew. Okay? New Testament was written in Greek, Old Testament was written in Hebrew. Okay? Now, in the original translation, there are no commas, apostrophes there, or full stops. Everything was written together, so that when you are studying, you have to read in context to bring out truths. You need to read in context and study and compare to bring out truths. So let me put it this way. When Jesus was reading in Luke chapter 4, when he went into the temple and they gave him the book of Isaiah, so they gave him a scroll. It wasn't clear like this. It was written together. He extracted the parts that had to do with him, quoted it, and said to that. That means he had studied it. Do you understand? That's the only way you can extract it, because there were no full stops, no comma, no separation from the previous one. So he read to the point where he just extracted the one that concerned him and left the rest. So Jesus is saying something here. Look at the way it is reaching him. This is the way you would think. Say, in the last day, that good day of faith, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Yes, what Jesus is saying. The basis of the statement I'm about to make is this. It has been written in scripture that a particular person will come. Out of his belly, rivers of water will flow. You know, we are used to quoting the scripture and say, out of my belly. But the scripture has actually said that there is someone who will come, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. So Jesus now said, the time has not come. I am the one that the scripture speaks about. How will the rivers flow out? He that believeth on me. Do you understand what I just said? He that believeth on me, out of my belly will flow what? Rivers of living water. So let me read it again now. The way it was originally written, see what it says. In the last day, that good day of the Jesus stood and God saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, he that believeth on me. Let me read that again. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, he that believeth on me. Who will come and drink? He that believeth on me. Shall I read that again so you get it? If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, he that believeth on me. Remove that full stop after drink. Because what you actually say is that, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, he that believeth on me. Or he that believeth on me will come unto me and drink. Since it is already written, out of my belly will flow what? Rivers of living water. Notice it says, he that believeth on me. Out of his belly. What does it mean to believe? It means to come. What does it mean to come? It means to drink. What was he speaking of? Look at next verse. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. So believing on him is coming to him. Coming to him is receiving or drinking of the Holy Ghost. So at salvation, what did you receive? The Holy Ghost. What does that translate to? Salvation. The day you got saved and you receive the Holy Ghost are one and the same. In other words, let me say this. You don't receive the Holy Ghost in measures. I think it's a good thing that we are looking at the series we're looking at on Sunday. Because it's a good companion to what we're looking at. Because we can be New Testament Christians with an Old Testament mentality. Hence, you are looking for a double portion of the anointing. Elisha could do that. He doesn't have the Holy Ghost the way you have the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, I will pray the Father and he will give you another comforter, even the Spirit of truth, that will abide with you forever. The difference between the way it functioned in the whole and the way it's functioning in the believer now is the way in which we have been given and we have received him. We have received him to indwell us. In fact, by his indwelling us, we have been changed into new creations. No one has the Holy Ghost in the Old Testament where believers have him now. So the Holy Ghost was with them. The Holy Ghost was never in them. It was with them for them to carry the assignment. He is in us by the very reason of who we are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So you can see that the signature of a new creation is the fact that you have the Spirit. By the very same Spirit, you have been made a new creation. Without the activity of the Holy Ghost, no one can become a new creation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Remember that Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, which is the Spirit of God. So Jesus was raised. Jesus, by the time he was exalted to the Father's right hand, received the Holy Ghost in a way no one has ever received the Holy Ghost. So he gave the Holy Ghost in a way no one was ever authorized to give the Holy Ghost. You need to understand these differences. So until Jesus came and received the Holy Ghost in that measure, he received the Holy Ghost as a first man to come out of spiritual death. As a man to be exalted at the Father's right hand. The Father's right hand is the highest place in the universe. It symbolizes the highest authority. So he is the one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And the baptism he's talking about is not to give you a measure. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you receive all. Hallelujah. Again, this is fighting against some religious. If you've been a Christian for a few years, I mean, you know that this is contrary to religious teaching. But this is scripture. Hallelujah. You don't receive the Holy Ghost in measures. It's either you have him or you don't have him. It's not in parts. It's not in parts. Hallelujah. So again, Acts chapter 2, verse 3. He being by the right hand of God exalted, he has shed forth this, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost. Let me put it this way. If Jesus was saying that the Holy Ghost was not yet given, the verse we just read, verse 39 in John chapter 7, because Jesus was not yet glorified, it must mean that Jesus being glorified, that position had something to do with his right to receive the Holy Ghost in that measure. Let me put it this way. The way Jesus received the Holy Ghost to give us now, where is seated, is even different from the way he received the Holy Ghost when he was coming out of the River Jordan. Because when he was coming out of the River Jordan, he was not a new creation. Maybe I should take a step back. In certain religious circles, some people will do not believe or accept that Jesus has to be reborn. But brothers and sisters, it makes sense. He died spiritually. If he didn't die spiritually, he couldn't have paid for your sins. When he was seen on the cross, my God, that was the first time he ever referred to God as God. He always referred to God as Father. So the word God, there is a covenant term. When he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He died spiritually. If he didn't die spiritually, listen carefully, he couldn't have died physically. Somebody says, why? He had no sin, neither had he committed any sin. So where will death come from? So he died spiritually because he was made sin. Next Sunday, I will continue some things I had said, because I will let us see that I was teaching about how Peter and the other apostles were eyewitnesses. They preached from the sense realm. So they always accused the Jews. You crucified the only one. They only saw one side. They didn't see behind the scenes in the spirit that the Bible says God himself made the soul of Jesus sin, a sacrifice for sin. It was God who did it. Human beings were used, but it was God who planned it. Because without that plan, you won't be saved today. Hallelujah. If you understand what we're teaching on Sundays, next time you watch The Passion of Christ, you won't cry.
Okay. What did Jesus say?
Some people will say, we're the ones that killed him. Are you a Jew? It was my sin that killed him. Are you a Jew? When did you become an Israelite? What's your name? Jochebed. You see, the scriptures, the revelation of scriptures, open our eyes to the truth. So he being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Lord, he has shed forth this. It means that being by the right hand of God exalted is another phrase for he was glorified. When he was glorified, he received the Holy Ghost, listen carefully, in a measure no one has ever received before. In a dimension nobody was ever authorized to receive, and he was authorized to give it to the body of Christ. So what we saw on the day of Pentecost was that on that day, 120 people filled with the Spirit, they got saved and filled at the same time. At the same time. Why? The Holy Ghost was in them to stay. I will give you another comforter, even the Spirit of truth, and he will abide with you forever. The forever dimension is the dimension that requires that Jesus must be glorified first before he can give the Holy Ghost in that dimension. Oh, if you understand this, you will rejoice. Hallelujah. He being by the right hand of God exalted. And that word for that is glorified. Having received. So, in John chapter 14, he was speaking of what will happen. I will pray the Father. In Acts chapter 2, he had already prayed, he had already received, and he has already shed forth. So, the day of Pentecost was a manifestation of what Jesus had accomplished by his death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and sitting. So the sitting part that will make it legal for him to receive the Holy Ghost in this dimension, such that he can give it to us forever, is the whole reason for the whole process. Hallelujah. Look at Titus chapter 3. So that I was thinking, because I need you to see that having the Holy Ghost in this dimension is just different. That's why we don't have him in portions. Titus, are you there? Chapter 3, verse 4. Titus chapter 3, verse 4. Some of you have never read Titus before. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Your sins are forgiven today. Never to be remembered again. I saved you. When you see Titus, you'll be able to boast. I read it. It was only one day. But from this time forward, repent. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, towards man appeared. Notice that not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. How? By the washing of what? Regeneration or rebirth. To regenerate means to rebirth. I wanted to use reborn. Ah, English. That is a rebirth. Regeneration means it's a rebirth. It's a rebirth. By the washing of what? Regeneration and renewing of what? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the singular entity that was used to bring you into the body of Christ. And I use that illustration that day. Let's assume that you are a vessel, a container. When you believe in Christ Jesus and you become saved, what really happens? It takes the Holy Ghost for salvation to occur. He is the one who baptizes you into the body. How does he do it? So let's assume that on the inside you are an unclean vessel. Let's assume. Then the Holy Ghost comes in, washes you. The substance that washes you is what? The washing of regeneration rebirths you. Hallelujah. The same substance that washes you clean actually rebirths you and then lives inside of you and makes you a child of God at the same time, at once. So the substance that cleanses you, it is something that lives inside of you at the same time that qualifies you as a child of God. So you were washed, you were reborn. It is that washing that we even call being reborn of the Holy Ghost. Do you understand? So it says, by the washing of the regeneration and renewing what? The Holy Ghost. What renewing means that something has never been in existence before. And it takes place at once. So let me put it this way. What have we been taught traditionally? You confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, you were saved. And then, one day, somebody told you about the Holy Ghost, you now received. Isn't it? How many of you had that experience? Okay, that's the experience I had taught. But that's not so in the scriptures. So in Acts chapter 2, we notice something. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began. Now that was the day they all got saved. Instance of salvation was the instance in which they started speaking in tongues. Then we notice something saying also in the house of Cornelius, Peter was preaching. We know that they were not saved. Notice what happened also. While Peter was preaching, the Holy Ghost fell and they all began to speak. Which means they were saved and they spoke at the same time. Why? They are not separate experiences. Men have separated them. But they are not separate experiences. So we have believers who are saved who have never spoken because they are waiting for the experience. And then God also is waiting for their experience. God, one day when you give me the Holy Ghost, I will speak. And God says that since I have given you, I'm waiting for when you also will speak. So the issue is that the day you realize that you have it, what will happen? You will speak. Hallelujah. Someone says, Pastor, why then do we lay hands? To help the faith of people. You see, the ministry of laying hands, most of the time, activates the deposits that are inside believers. That deposits inside of you, that's what we sometimes call impartation. Now, what we are doing with our hands, when we lay hands upon you, to activate that deposit, can also be done with words. So, if I come to you and I prophesy, the same prophecy will have the same spiritual impact on you, and bring out of you something that was lying dormant, which you didn't activate yourself, and it comes into operation from that day forward. It's the same process. So it can be done through prophecy. It can be done by laying of hands. Both of them works. But here's what you need to know. It's not coming from outside in like we have thought. It's coming from inside out. So somebody is struggling to speak. We lay hands and then suddenly the person becomes fluent. What we did was help, enable. But the person flow in what they already have. Say amen. Why? Because the day they became saved, since you cannot get saved without the Holy Ghost, you will receive all the Holy Ghost there is. It's not in portions. It's at once. Why? You already have eternal life. Say amen. Eternal life means that you don't qualify for less than all of the Holy Ghost. So, he by the right hand of God being exalted, and having received the Father, the promise of the Spirit, he has shed forth this. When he shed it forth in full measure. So the scripture has been fulfilled. He that cometh unto me, out of his belly flows what? Rivers of living water. You came by believing. You believe, you receive. What did you receive? Rivers of living water. You drank out of the belly of Jesus. You are full of the Spirit already because you are already saved. By reason of being saved, you were full of Spirit at the same time, not separate experiences. Say amen. Very important. So, Acts chapter 2 now. I said all that to build up to all trances as we stepped in last week. Chapter 2 verse 4. I want you to be very intelligent tonight. Are we in Acts chapter 2? Look at verse 4 again. And they were all what? Filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other, as the Spirit gave them what? Verse 8. What does it say? And how hear we every man in our own tongue when we were born? Verse 11. Cretans and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues what? The wonderful works of what? God. Verse 32. Again, which we read before. What does it say? This Jesus has God done what? Raised up. Whereof we are all, therefore, being by the right hand of God what? Exalted. And having received of the Father what? The promise of the Holy Ghost. He has shed forth this, which you now see and hear. Verse 4. What? Did we see anything? Did we see anything? Verse 4. Did we hear anything? But in verse 33, what did Peter say? What we can see and hear. So between verse 4 and 33, something to see had been added. But what did Peter testify happen? He has shed forth this. So when he first shed forth, what did the disciples give expression to? What could be heard? Tongues. But between verse 4 and verse 33, they gave expression to more. Let me explain this way. On the day of Pentecost, Jesus, having received the promise of the Holy Ghost, shed it forth. People were saved. At the instance of salvation, utterance was given unto them. Utterance that was given unto them was God shedding forth the Holy Ghost, not in half measure, in full measure. But what they laid hold on first, out of what they received, was what? Utterance. Then after a while, Peter got up and used the utterance to teach on that day. Hallelujah. Some used the utterance and danced. Some used the utterance and laughed. But where did they all start from? Utterance. They spoke in tongues. That's what they did. Do you understand? Now, here's what I want you to see. They were the ones determining how much of what was shed forth was in expression. It wasn't the Holy Ghost. It was how much they laid hold of that they were giving expression to. If you understand, so well, let me see. Jesus shed forth at once on the day of Pentecost. They began to receive. What they gave expression to out of what was received was in measures. What they were giving was not in measures. Do you understand? Okay, let me ask a question. How many of us speak in tongues? Let me see your hand. How many of us have interpreted? Let me see your hand. Even interpreted before. How many of us started interpreting from the first day we started speaking in tongues? Okay, but how many of us can interpret now? Okay. Do you know that the day you spoke in tongues, you could have interpreted? You are the one who stopped. Let me just say, he has shed forth this. And what he shed forth was not in measures. But notice what the apostles also did, disciples. They first spoke in tongues. Even though Peter said you can see and hear. But when they first did, all was that was seen was what could be heard. Later in the same chapter, people now started seeing. So they gave expression to more of what they had received. What they had received was all, but they gave expression to just small out of it in utterance. Let me ask a question that will help you. Have you ever thought about that the Holy Ghost doesn't speak in tongues? Who speaks in tongues? Let me tell you what it means for you to say the Holy Ghost speaks in tongues. Don't laugh, it's illustration. Don't laugh. It's like you saying that if somebody is drunk, okay, what does the wine bottle supply to the person? Intoxication, yes or no? Okay. Who acts out the intoxication? Who acts out the intoxication? Let me now ask a question. Have you seen two drunk men who act exactly the same? Why not? If you can understand what I just said now, you understand a lot of things about things of him. Do you notice that no two drunk men act the same? Have you noticed that? Now, why don't they act the same? Even though they are both drunk, even though they took the same wine, they don't act the same way because the way they act is a function of their personality. Did you hear what I just said? Vivian, we can play the same song. Let's assume you like to dance. I don't know if you like to dance, but let's assume you like to dance. Then we now put somebody else who like to dance. Well, we have to look for those who like to dance. We are playing the same song. We put you in separate rooms and there are observers observing you. It will be amazing how the two of you will dance differently to the same song. So the song is making you dance, but the way you are responding to the song in a dance is different from the other person. That means the way you respond is not the song that determines, it is you. They were all filled and they began to speak with other tongues. So utterance came, the Holy Ghost filled them, but the Holy Ghost didn't speak in tongues. Their tongues was an expression of what they were filled with. So a drunk man is acting under intoxication. The wine gives intoxication. The drunk man is acting, but even though he is drunk and is intoxicated, his actions are not based on just the wine, they are based on his personality. That is why your tongue sounds the way it sounds. It is you. That's how you talk. Do you understand what you said? It is you. That's what you say. That's why there's no correct or incorrect tongues. It's you. It has to do with you. You are giving expression to God based on your person, because it does not, it's not separated from your personality. It's not. I said something 2 weeks back that some people give everything in tongues and they interpret because they are naturally talkative. Okay, maybe I should be kinder. Let me look for something else to say. When they want to say, have you seen some people, they come and give you news. And the news they gave you, they've told you in 2 minutes. Somebody has to spend the next 30 minutes studying the same news. It will garnish it, put details. I'm telling you, I was there. The window was open. If you see people rolling on the floor. Now, what he's saying, now, so now people came to say, and it was shot. So when you are giving message in tongues and interpretation, do you know it will show? If you are giving too long detail, it will show in your tongue and interpretation. Why? It's your past. That's how you express. So if you sense it is strong upon you, why is some people say, it's not the spirit, it's them. Okay, let me give an illustration. You must get this thing. If you've been to the hospital before and people are receiving injection, even adults who are meant to have had children, the nurse will be talking as though there's a baby. Auntie, it's okay. Auntie, don't cry now. Auntie, I've not even given you. It's just the wet cutting wood that you are feeling. I've not started. And he's shaking. And the auntie's having to say that it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. Just look the other way. No. That's a going up. Now, the injection is neutral. But when it enters, it produces different reactions from different people. Some, they almost need to tie their hand and leg. Some, they're telling them, your leg is too tense. Relax the leg. And it's another we're talking about. Some, we go there before they give them, do you have baby needle? You feel like asking, are you a baby? Baby needle. Now, it is injection. Why are we having different reactions? Our estimation of what the injection is like. When it touches your skin, it's amazing how our reactions are different. Some sounds will come out from people you are there. You never knew that that sound existed. So, we are saying that it is them expressing. It is not necessarily the Holy Ghost. So, some people drink the same quantity of wine. And some are singing songs. And some are walking straight. And some are dancing. And some are swaying. So, the wine is not the, so to speak, it's not the one, it's not what is different. It must be the individual. Hallelujah. Do you understand what you said? I went all that way. So you see that when we are filled, we are the ones who determine how we will express. The meeting I went to in Ibadan, one of the things that happened, ushers were struggling to control people as the Holy Ghost meeting. Okay? And I think that was they've been having those meetings, but there was a particularly very strong move of God, and people were all over the place. There was a very dignified lady in her late 40s, because she was the one who was catering for me when I was there. That's how I called her. When someone is very dignified, you can tell that there's something. She stood on the chair, and ushers were around her, and she won't come down. And she was jumping like this on one spot on the chair. You know, you tell yourself that this can only be the Holy Ghost. But she's the one responding that way. Do you understand what you're saying? She's the one responding that way. It's her. That means in that sense, it's under her control. So, they were all filled and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them what? Utterance. What did the Holy Ghost supply? Utterance. He didn't supply tongues. He supplied utterance. When he supplied utterance, they expressed it through tongues. That means when they expressed what they were supplied as tongues, they could also express it as interpretation. It's the same utterance that will bring forth both in the same way. They could express the utterance as a dance. They could express it as a shout. They could express it as a song. What they use is utterance. Then the individual who has the utterance determines how to express it. The utterance is inspiration. Do you understand? So I said, why are they expressing in tongues? Jesus, after he rose from the dead, has spent 40 days teaching them that in my name you will speak with new tongues. So they were not caught off guard or surprised. If somebody gives you 40 days teaching after he rose and was teaching you about the infilling of the Holy Ghost when you get saved, and this is what will happen. So they were responding intelligently to the utterance that they were giving. What is God's part? Give you utterance. What is your part? You are the one that determines what how to express. Now you now determine also how far you will go with what you have received. What did you receive? Everything. How much do you expect? Usually not everything. What helps you to express everything? Understanding. Hallelujah. Understanding. It's not that God just said, I need to move on, Sister Kate. Let me move on, Kate, a little bit. If I move on now, a little bit, she'll be doing. No, it's not God moving. It is you yielding. So you've yielded so far. You've seen this much. You see more when you learn to yield more. What makes you yield more? You have received all that there is to receive. So you're not going to receive more because you have received all. If we say you are receiving more now, we're referring to the fact that you are receiving more of what you already have within you. Do you understand? Not that more is coming into you, more is coming out of you. Glory to God. But look at this, and I want you to answer intelligently. Ask the two. Okay, are we there? Let's jump all the way back to verse 4. Look at verse 4 again. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. And Spirit gave them what? Utterance. And they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews and devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised about, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man, heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these we speak Galileans? How hear we everybody in our own tongue wherein we are born? So, Cretans and Arabians, I'm jumping to verse 11. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. There are two ways you can explain what happened. Number one, on the day of Pentecost, when they were filled and began to speak, you can say that God caused a miracle to happen. So that though they were speaking in other tongues, God caused everyone that came to hear in their own language. That's one explanation. But now that we have, they didn't have it when Acts was chosen. Now that we have 1 Corinthians chapter 14, maybe there's a better explanation. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 2, what does it say in verse 2? 1 Corinthians 14, 2. For he that speaketh in one tongue speaks not unto men, but unto, for no man understands one How be it in the spirit, they speak it. So what were they speaking in Acts 2 verse 4? In other tongues. If you speak in tongues normally, does any man understand you? Did those people understand them? Did those people understand them? Yes. So, again, look at the first explanation. The first explanation is that, okay, we were speaking other tongues, but God was causing all the hearers to hear in their own language. That sounds plausible. But let's look at Acts chapter 14. Look at verse 3. But he that prophesies speaks unto men what? Edification, exhortation, and comfort. Next verse. He that speaks in the tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. Verse 5. I would that ye all speak with tongues in order that you man prophesy, for greater is he that prophesies than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive one edifying. So another explanation is the fact that after they spoke in their tongues, they interpreted for the people to understand. I like the look on Mrs. Rufus' face. Think about it. They interpreted for the people to understand. That's another explanation. And that explanation makes sense. Why? Remember New Testament doctrine. Paul said, I would that you all speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesy. And we said that word rather means in order that you may what? Prophesy. For greater is he. We explain what greater means. Greater doesn't mean the individual is greater. It just means that the person that will interpret his tongues is doing a greater service or is of more benefit. That the one who just speaks in tongues and stops. So what he's saying is this. If I speak in unknown tongue, I'm speaking to God. No man understands. How do I bring the riches of my conversation to men? I must change it from the unknown to the known. That's what interpretation is, which is prophecy. So he's actually saying, you speaking that way, whenever you get to a public assembly or a public gathering, as a function of your will, intelligently bring out interpretation of what you just said, so that those who are listening to you can enjoy the benefit of it. Say amen. Gentlemen, he's actually saying, say, I would that you are speaking, but rather. If you say rather, it means the people he's talking to have a choice. You can't use rather if they don't have a choice. Do you understand? You don't say rather. I want Evian to make me some clothes, but I prefer blue. The Evian says, I don't have control over what you prefer. I just told you. I know you can buy blue. You know where they sell blue. You have control over the kind of clothes you buy. You don't say that. When I got to market, can you imagine? All they sold me was black. I didn't have a choice. I just had to buy what they had. No, the buyer has a choice on what he wants to buy. He's the one that has the money. Do you understand? So when you say rather means you have something to do with it. What is he saying? Don't just come to us, speak in tongues, and then go back. You are the one who's enjoying it. Bring it down for our own enjoyment too. That's what he's saying. So when they were speaking in tongues, remember when they were speaking, it was before the people came. How many of you remember? Hallelujah. I hope you remember how Acts of the 2 started. When the day of Pentecost was supposed to come, they were all on accord in one place. And they came and stand from everyone as a Russian management. And a few others where they were sitting. And suddenly they appeared unto them, clothing them as a fire. And they sat upon each and every one of them. And they were all filled with one. And they began to what? Speak. Notice when they were speaking, and those people started gathering. Does this mean? Some said they are full of new wine. Someone said that, but it's only the third hour of the day. But when the day of Pentecost was fully come, so they were there overnight. When the day came in 6 a.m. in the morning, they were filled. They started speaking. This is what the third hour means. It was 3 hours after they were speaking that people came. Hallelujah. If you understand, let me say that. So if 3 hours after, when they were speaking in tongues, when the people came, when they were speaking in tongues, when people started talking, what did they change it to? They interpreted what they were saying. Hallelujah. So the people heard. Let me ask you another question. So you will see this. This is not magical. You look at me and say, is that in the Bible? It's in the Bible. Acts 10. Acts 10. 39. Acts 10:39. Okay, I can't go to my iPad again now. Battery low. So, Acts 10. We are witness of all these things which he did both in one. This is Peter preaching in Cornelius' house. Look at what Peter said. which he did both in the land of Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hung on the tree. Next verse. Him God raised up and taught him and showed him publicly, openly. Now, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Next verse. And he commanded us to preach unto the poor and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. Next verse. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive what? Remission of sins. Next verse. While Peter and yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost did what? Fell on all them which what? Heard the word. Heard the word also means they believed. Else the Holy Ghost wouldn't have fallen. Do you understand? Look at next verse. And they of the circumcision we believe were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out what? The gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and what? Magnify God. Stop. If all they did was speak in tongues, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men but to God, for no man understandeth. But they heard them speak in tongues and magnify. The magnify part is the part they understood. So they spoke in tongues and interpreted. The interpretation is magnifying God. If you understand, let me see. Say amen, say amen, say amen. Do you see that? Notice that nobody coached them. Say ha ha. Say oh. Notice nobody coached them. Do you know what happened? They just took hold of the utterance and went further with it. So some of us take hold of the utterance and go a little bit and stop. Some of us take hold of the utterance and go further. So it's not God, it is us. And how much we take hold of the utterance. It means the same utterance that I used to speak is the same utterance I used to interpret. It's the same utterance I used to bring for spiritual song. It's the same utterance. It just depends on how much am I laying hold of per time. Hallelujah. I was about to say, what do you mean? How do I lay hold more? You increase how much you speak and how long you speak. For the more you speak, the more utterance you are bringing forth. The more utterance you bring forth, the more is coming out of what you already have. That's what it means. That's what it means. Hallelujah. So if I ask you tonight, do you have something? Based on your sense, you say, no. You may even have come to church and there was no food before you came. So like Peter that was praying on the rooftop, he began to be hungry and he was praying. Can you be praying in tongues and be thinking of spaghetti? Oh yes. Spaghetti is even nice. Eba. And your prayer is still legal. Peter was praying and he was hungry. Apostle Peter. Do you know, besides the hunger, he still fell into trance even when he was hungry? The Bible records he was praying and he was hungry. So is it a sin to be praying and be thinking of rice? It's not. If your tongue is empty, likely you think of rice. It's a woo. It depends on where you are coming from. Your mind has little to do with it. And that's what it means. He was still praying. Tongues was going on. But so we're saying that the more he prayed, in fact, there was the prayer of Peter on the day of Pentecost. Sorry, I didn't mean it. There was prayer of Peter on the rooftop that the interpretation of that prayer, of that tongue he was praying, was the vision he had. Hallelujah. The interpretation was the vision that Peter fell into because of the plan and purpose of God. So we're saying that some people move a little bit and stop short. You don't learn a sifreti leganish de kesuso brakatusia. Enyanka lamuko belief redia katiseti legiata. In a relay race, people hand over buttons one to another. And so the first to the second to the third to the last. But in Christ, a button has been handed over. And you hand over the button to yourself again and again. You say, I've run this far. And it says you can run more. You say, I've stopped at the next point. It says there's more to achieve. Even when you get to the fourth lane, it says there's much more victory. There's much more progress to enjoy. For there's continuous advancement in him. For as his eye are lifted up, so are the blessings. So are the realities of what he has planned and prepared for you. And as you take the pause button and push beyond where you pushed before, you will see that there's much more to enjoy than you have enjoyed before. Hallelujah. Now, will you know the interpretation before you speak? No. Remember, they were all filled and began to speak as he gave utterance. The utterance that you respond to in tongues is the same utterance that will bring out interpretation. So it's lano staff rakano selefristeledia tekia to suit the kala chia. And a ka nanso makingi ke ne lino suta kaide. The guarantee that that which you have received is no lie. Is he which sits on the throne? Is he who sits in the highest place? Is he who has been exalted? For as he is exalted, based on supernatural facts of his ascension and his resurrection, so also will the utterance that will come forth from the heart of every single saint be based on reality, not a mirage. And so you have left the shadows, never to go back. You are in the light, now to abide. Abide in the light and know that everything that you speak, you are speaking forth eternal truths, things that pertain to the new creation. For as he is, so are you even now. Glory to God. As he is, so are you even now. Now, interestingly enough, from those two interpretations, I can start another teaching entirely for the next 1 hour. What am I saying? From the utterances that you respond to, more will start coming up. You have a clearer understanding of what it is and how it operates. So it's a function of, if I yield a little more, I just see more. And if I see more, I automatically enjoy more. Hallelujah. You must celebrate Castle Lefrish the Lediana Castia. And I'm going and Lefrite key a cheat of Restic Leda Castiana. This is the hidden wisdom of which the scripture spoke and said, if the prince of this world had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it's too late, he has been crucified. Not only was he crucified, he died. Not only did he die, he was buried. Not only was he buried, he rose. Not only did he rise, he ascended. Not only did he ascended, he is seated. And you and I are the product of his sitting. And because we are seated also, this is how we take care of little issues. We pay house rents. We pay school fees. We dissolve every doubt. We counter every attack of the enemy through the same supernatural weapon, for we come behind in no gift to the supernatural ministry of the Holy Ghost at work and alive in every single believer. Hallelujah. What did I just say? The Spirit of God is trying to say one single thing, that many will think, will this pay my house rent? Inside the utterance is the wisdom that will pay your house rent. Will this solve the challenge of the sickness of my child? Inside the utterance is the wisdom that will take care of the health of that child. For inside the utterance of God is the hidden wisdom. It will affect every area of your life as you learn to trust in it. For the testimony of Christ is being confirmed perpetually in you as you yield your tongue to the supernatural utterances. It will bring you to a place of perpetual victory where you will no longer walk by sight, but you will tell yourself, that which I handle, that which I walk in is not coincidental. It is the reality. For as I seated, so am I meant to enjoy victory upon victory upon victory in all areas of life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, hidden inside the utterance, what does give you utterance? Behind that utterance, God's wisdom is at the back of it. Dominion is at the back of it. Victory is at the back of it. How does it start? Utterance. What do? You start speaking. Why are you speaking? It's a means to an end. Hallelujah. It's a means to an end. One more scripture will round up. Go back to that. Acts 2:33. We stop tonight. Glory to God. Acts 2:33, verse 34. Next verse, please. Next verse. I'm looking for your verse. Okay. We'll go back to verse 34. Let's read together. For David is not ascending into the heavens, but he said himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou where? On my right hand. Next verse. Until I make thy foes thy one footstool. Where is Jesus seated? If he's sitting at the right hand, and we're seated with him, and he will make his enemies or his foes his footstool, it means that which will put the enemy under your foot is inside the utterance of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The wisdom that will put him under every single time, that will take you out of lack, that will hide you away from disappointment, that will save you from the scourge of the tongue, that will save you from emotional turmoil, that will relieve you of aches and pains is inside the utterance that's within your spirit today. So I dare say, the next victory is an utterance away. The next provision is a statement away. The question is this: will you be like the prince of this world and will despise what God has prepared in Christ? They began to speak. All they did was begin. It started little. What started little in verse 4? By verse 38 became the salvation of 3,000 men. Who could have guessed from, and they began to speak with other tongues, that 3,000 men could be saved? So tongues is the beginning. It's not the end. It's always a means to an end. If you stand with the beginning, surely there's an end, and your expectation shall not be cut off. Surely the wisdom of God is hidden in the heaven. That wisdom was not hidden from you. It was hidden for you to unveil. And as you therefore plumb the depths of God's word and begin to practice and give expression, out of it will come those rivers of living waters, will come the provision, the sustenance, the answers to the question, the casting away of fear and unbelief, the freedom from limitations that you have been looking for. It's an utterance away. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's exercise ourselves a little tonight. Just pray in tongues tonight. I want you to do something. Don't speak by rote. By rote means automatic. Speak deliberately, then listen. Speak, then listen. Speak, then listen. Hear yourself speak. Extend your vocabulary a little bit. Deliberately. That's how you lay hold on more trance. And you give back to things beyond where you have already fallen. Don't stay with the same thing for the past 2 years. That's not how a believer lives. You ought to extend beyond the operations where you won't stop. Remember that interpretation? The same way in the relay race, the first runner, the second runner, the third runner will maneuver. But in all, in the realm of the spirit, you are the first runner, you are the second runner, and the third runner. You keep handing over the baton to yourself. Why? Because you realize there's more to enjoy, more to go. When you run the first lap, you tell yourself, the reason why they are four in the relay is because the first person that runs gives the next person who is fresh. But you are the one who is still fresh in the Holy Ghost. So as you get to a place you think you have gotten to the end, you see it's a new beginning entirely. You take the same baton and run further. For you see that there's more distance to cover. You get to the next place, you take the baton again, you don't hand it to anyone, you hand it to yourself. Then you run further again. Why? You see there's more land to cover. Hallelujah. That means you can extend yourself beyond where you want to stop in the operations of the Spirit and say, I want more and I reach out for more. Hallelujah. Yeah. You can say, I want more, and I reach out for more. So let's go ahead and do that tonight. Go ahead and speak Allah, Subda Kanush, Ekitos, Olengra, and Sitekles too. Murins, Fredilanangi, Gishepurgustangas, Udilan Rikis, the Kestia. I can't come, Benigeni, tiredness about me. There is no weakness. I refuse to be discouraged. I am encouraged in the Lord, for His strength is my strength. And so I go beyond the lies of the enemy. When He says there are no more doors open for you, I see 700 doors open before me, for the doors can never be shut against me. The doors can never be shut against me. I am of the Holy One. The doors can never be shut against me. I see doors open for me to walk through. I see avenues of escape. I see new treasures to cover. I see new places to go. I see new things to experience. I laugh at the mirage that the enemy places. Yea, I make a mockery of all his lies. I make a mockery of all that he has said. I know I am of God. My kind has never failed before. I know I've overcome already. I am not trying to overcome. And so I leave the place, the seat of the mourners. I leave the place of the feet. I rise to my place in Him, the feet of the one who is more than a conqueror. I know I have mastery in all affairs of life. And so I refuse to listen to the suggestions and lies that the enemy tries to whisper in my ear, saying, yeah, the resource is far away. Yeah, you will never have this. You will never have that. For I laugh at him, knowing I already have it in Christ Jesus. If I have him, I have everything. And since I have him, I have all I will ever need. So it's too late for me not to have. I already have the substance of all things, the yes and the amen to all the promise of God. And so indeed I do rejoice and praise him and bless him. For it's too late for that which I believe not to come to pass. For that which I believe is the reality. The lies of the enemy are the shadow. And therefore I refuse to walk in the shadows, but I embrace the reality of that which the word has stated. For as he is and as he has spoken, so is the truth about me also. And so I rejoice and place my attention, my entire gaze upon this truth, and I swim in the reality of this truth, enjoying the flow of his grace, swimming in the river of his pleasure, knowing I drink abundantly, I am satisfied, knowing no lack in any area, but having abundance, and enjoying all that he has provided. He is my rock and my salvation. He is my confidence. My expectations will never fail. My expectations will never be cut short, but my expectation is of him who sits on the throne. Elena Subrakatushe, Enemri and Kunse, Enegrasu Kapranasto Guri, Emi Krinusa, Elefrinde Kishta Gusta, Ankane Eledika Prastia Sheko, Gukele Vronestia, Alanasha Gubrokiste Kisebediga Lanagastia, Gimum, Levrenishtengos, Golefrangastike Silibra Gutamon. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Now, when we spoke out in tongues, I just said some things to just lead us along that line. So let us see. And some of us said some things that we saw some things. Some of us said some things that we heard some things. Hallelujah. That is how you practice. Particularly when we come together. Why is it so important when we come together? Because when we come together, there's a stronger unction to do so than the unction you will have when you're in your private life. By your private life, you may struggle a bit more, but in church, because of we are this same body, you will see that there's a stronger flow. There's a greater ability to give expression to those things because we are together and there's a corporate flow at work. Hallelujah. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to just walk up to anybody that you feel like walking up to and just say something to them. Now, stop. This is not like last week. Last week, I insisted that everyone, so today, if you don't want to get up, don't get up. Because we're getting to a place now. You know when you, in primary school now, you say 1+1. In secondary school, you say that. When you get to secondary university, nobody asks you to go for lectures. If you like, don't go. Have you noticed that in secondary university? Have you seen lectures chasing people in university? Is that one university? No, university, you are the one that's when you go for lectures because university is different. But in primary school, secondary school, you don't appear in class, they will beat you. But nobody beats you in university because university is for the seniors. Amen? So now, walk up to anybody you feel like when walking up. Somebody says, how do I start? By what you just did now. If I come on to you speaking with tongues, it's from that utterance, you'll have something to give somebody else. If you already blessed yourself, because he that speaks in one tongue edifies yourself, so you already built up. So you may want to be a blessing to others. Remember, when you are doing it to others, it's of greater benefit. So if you want to go to another person, feel free to go to the person. It takes boldness. It takes boldness. It takes boldness. Anyone, it doesn't matter the person. Anyone you feel like. If you have a leading to go to that person, fine. But if you don't have any leading, you can just go to anyone you want to. What are you doing? You are exercising it. And it's as you will. It's as you will. It's strictly as you will. It's as you will. It's as you will. You can start with tongues. And then from tongues, you move on to something else. You can start with tongues. And from tongues, you move on to something else. Don't throw in the towel so soon. It's not over. It's not over. The year itself is not over. The day itself is not over. This is the day of the sons and daughters of God. This is the era of the miraculous. This is the time of miraculous supply. Provisions abounding on every side. For when the economy of the earth fails, that of the heaven is alive forevermore. And so is table of provision, full of good things. Eat and eat and eat and eat to abundance until you are full. Say, I see provisions coming from the north. I see them coming from the east. I see them flowing from the west. I see them coming from the south. My hands are full. My heart overflows. The Father's goodness abundantly demonstrated towards me. I have no lack in any area. for he has caused even ravens to come to attend to my needs. Yea, the barrel of crews will not fail if you not waste. Abundance all the way, 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 abundance all the way. Provisions everywhere I look. The Father's hand taking care of everything, paying bills and sorting things out. I have no fear whatsoever. I am confident. I know him whom I believed, and I am persuaded. I am persuaded of his goodness. I am persuaded of his mercy. I know his mighty hand. I know what he has done and what he can do. I yield to what he has done, and I see what he can do. And everywhere around me, songs of praise arise and thanksgiving, for I am feeding and eating fully from the Father's table of provision, and there is no lack mentioned concerning me. Hallelujah. Glory to God forever. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. All right, let's have our seats. Glory to God. Now, this is all this is just a preparation towards the 28th. Now, if you can walk up to an individual and speak to them, okay, from there you move on to having a word or prophecy or a song for the assembly as a whole. But again, sometimes when we have something in our hearts, some of us didn't know we had anything until you yielded to utterance. Then when you yielded to utterance, you sort of knew what to say to those people. So that means that at any point in time, the reason why you never said anything to them was because you never yielded to utterance. It is in your yielding to utterance that you discover what it is that God wants to say through you to those individuals. So it is with every single believer's meeting. So don't be afraid if it's not clear in your mind. You are not operating by the mind, you are operating by the spirit. And the spirit is meant to educate the mind and not the other way around. So if you allow your spirit to educate your mind, the understanding that your mind will receive will make room and will make way, and will embolden you to go beyond where you have stopped, to enjoy more and to see more, and then to release more onto others. So we are having this mini exercises so that again on the 28th we'll go full bloom. You reach out, you are no longer afraid, you are bold, you are confident, you know that there is something that God wants to say through you to others, and many people will be blessed. Amen.